The Word of God comes to us this morning from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, and begin in the 18th verse. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. It's the word of God for the people of God. May we see. Thank you to the Savannah Trombone Choir for playing for us this morning. They're going to play another piece for us at the very end of the service. I'll just tell you that ahead of time. You may want to stick around for the postlude instead of we usually go out. But just instead to stay in here at the postlude as they'll bless us again. One of the great sports quotes I think ever came from the former heavyweight boxing champion of the world, Mike Tyson. Tyson was being interviewed about an upcoming opponent and that opponent's strategy for the match. Tyson's response was, "Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Meaning, of course, when something happens that we aren't planning for, the plan usually goes out the window. And what are we going to do then? I thought it was an appropriate quote to focus our attention on Joseph today. After all, Joseph had a plan. I mean, it might have started out as parents' plan. Lots of marriages were arranged in those days, but Joseph is in it, so this is Joseph's plan for his life. I mean, his life was all planned out. He's engaged to Mary. He's going to get married. He's going to take over the carpenter shop. He's going to build a little house there in Nazareth, have 2.5 kids, a couple of camels in the garage, maybe a nice vacation house on the Sea of Galilee. And then he got punched in the mouth. His fiancée came up pregnant, and it's not his. What are you going to do now? I mean, most of us have been there in one way or another. If we haven't been, we will one day. What I mean is we've all had a plan, and then, as the bumper sticker says, stuff happens. Actually, that's a paraphrase version of it. You could probably just say, life happens. I said last week, or week before last, that I'd come to the conclusion that all of life was waiting. It was living, as Dave Matthews Band put it, in the space between. The space between where I am and where I'm going to be. Who I am and who I'm going to be. What I have and what I'm going to have. But when you live in the space between, it means everything in your life is in flux or in process. What we're waiting for during those times is for our plan to work itself out. But it doesn't always work itself out. Not the way we have it planned. Life happens. And sometimes our plans go out the window with it. The fact is, all of us like having a plan, even the most spontaneous among us. I mean, the truth is, we only really like spontaneity when what comes up turns out to be better than what we had planned. So we all have a plan. But you know how it goes. Someone gets sick. Or someone dies. Or the market takes a downturn. Or the company downsizes. Or the kid rebels. Or the marriage fails. Or time passes us by and a dream is left unrealized. What are we going to do then? Well, we usually do what Joseph did. We try to collect ourselves a bit and make another plan. I mean, contingency plans are usually about damage control. In Mike Tyson's world, that meant, how do I keep from getting punched in the mouth again? Matthew described it like this. Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly, which means he comes up with a new plan. But even that's not easy. You see, Joseph has a dilemma in developing a new plan. That's the problem with most contingency plans. You know, we always start off with what is a perfect plan. In our mind, a perfect plan. When that gets blown up, we have to deal with what's left. And in our mind, there are no more perfect plans left. Now it's salvage plans. But here's his dilemma. On the one hand, Matthew says he is a righteous man. You know what that means? That means he is righteous according to the law. He lives by the law. Now, being a righteous man, his contingency plan could simply be let the law take over. Because the law has a contingency plan for things like this. You know what it is. Stone her. You see, option number one for Joseph could have been cut his losses, satisfy his anger and his hurt, salvage his reputation, but all of that would come at her expense. And here's his dilemma. It says he's unwilling to do that. In spite of the fact that he's a righteous man living by the law, what it means is he's more than a righteous man. He's a gracious man. He's a compassionate man. He's a godly man. I mean, maybe he loves Mary. Maybe he's a man of faith and he wants to believe her story, even though her story is terribly unbelievable. But for whatever reason, it says he is unwilling to simply cut his losses at her expense. So that option is out the window. We all face that kind of option when our plans get blown up. Sometimes we'll have to decide, who are we willing to let pay the price for my plans getting blown up? But Joseph reminds us, if that's not who we want to be, we're going to have to decide what I'm not willing to do. That affects where I go next in life. And I wonder sometimes if this is where Jesus learned it. I mean, if you think about the biblical story, we blew up God's perfect plan. And yet, he was not willing to simply cut his losses and let us pay the price for it. Instead, he took it upon himself. But to get where Joseph is, where you're unwilling to let others pay the price, you need to know that you're going to have to get beyond a couple of things to do that. One is usually my disappointment. Never underestimate the power of disappointment in life. It can be crushing. Because my disappointment really represents the loss of my plan. That's what disappointment is. I have missed the life I had appointed for myself. I had it planned. What this really means is hopes are dashed. And the loss of hope is crushing. The second thing you might have to get over is my resentment, particularly of the one who blew up my plans. Resentment is a kind of anger, but sometimes it's worse than anger, right? Anger can be an emotion that rises to the surface and boils over, and it has consequences that we have to deal with afterwards. But resentment is anger that gets buried down deep and becomes this thing we call bitterness. And then it starts to constantly seep out over time and poison the lives of everyone around us. We need divine help to get over things like disappointment and resentment when our plans get blown up. Because in Mike Tyson's world, when you get hit in the mouth, you really just want to hit somebody else back. So if letting the law be his fallback and letting her pay the price for blowing up his perfect plan is not an option for him, he's got to come up with another plan. And remember, the second option is never going to be as easy as the first. In this case, it's a little messier. Actually, Joseph's second plan, which we read about, is probably not that realistic. I'd call it the wishful thinking plan. And that's the other thing we have to watch out for when our plans get blown up, is falling into this state of wishful thinking instead of dealing with reality and life as it now is. So his new plan is, he will dismiss her quietly. What it sounds like is he really just wants to, let's just go back to where we were before any of this was ever planned. Let's just put this all behind us and start over as if it never happened. But I mean, really, how realistic is this? Dismiss her quietly. This is a small town. I mean, smaller than the number of people in this building this morning. Everybody knows everybody. And people talk in small towns. and big towns. And an engagement is as binding as a marriage. And so you're just going to dismiss her quietly, right? Right. I mean, I guess he could for the moment. It's unlikely at this point anybody else knows. And Joseph, he might even be willing to take the hit for it, right? He seems like that good of a man to say something like, well, this is all my fault. Or I got cold feet. Or I simply can't support a wife right now, so I need to back out of this. But unless Mary is leaving town never to come back in a few months, everybody's going to know that wasn't true. This was only going to get him through the moment. So one problem we run into when our plans are blown up and we're trying to come up with another option is wishful thinking. But another is just try to get through the immediate situation without dealing with the longer-term consequences of the decisions I'm making right now. So while we can't engage in wishful thinking, stick our head in the sand in some form of denial, pretending none of this ever really happened, just dismiss her quietly and go back to the way things were, neither can we do something that just gets us through the moment with no regard of what that means for the long term. We have to deal with reality when we start forming a new plan for our lives. So now we're left with option number three. Really, it's God who introduces the third option, and He does so in a dream. So you might say the first option was emotional, no matter what it cost anybody else. Somebody else is paying the price for blowing up my plans. The second option was naive, not realistic at all. And the third option is this. You can walk by faith into an uncertain future and let God reveal it day by day, step by step. Now, the question is, how am I going to do that? I mean, one way to think of that is maybe we consider that God has a bigger plan of which my life is a small but important part. But let me warn you about that. That view also means I'm probably going to have to get over my disappointment and possibly even my resentment of God. Because that means I believe it was God who blew up my plans, because God has a bigger plan, a more important plan, and I wanted mine. Some of you may remember me sharing this before, but my father told me shortly before his death that for a while he resented God for calling me away into ministry. He said, I had our life all planned out. But now, after all these years, I've had to come to accept that his plan was better than mine. But what he said is, if I believe this is God's plan, then I've got to get over my disappointment and even my resentment, even of God who changed the plan. That being said, let me be clear. There are many things that blow up our plans in life that are not of God's making. There's human free will. There is sin and living in a fallen world. There is an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes there is just simply life that happens. So there's a second way to consider this third option of walking by faith into an uncertain future and letting God unveil it as we go. It is to believe, as Paul stated in Romans 8:28, that verse that so many of you know, that God works all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, that does not mean that God causes all things. It certainly does not mean that all things are good. It means that God works to redeem all things, even lost plans and broken dreams. Not every interruption of my plan is of God's doing. But every adaptation to the interruption will need God's help to redeem it and reclaim it for some good in my life. So here was the third option God offers to Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I mean, afraid of what? I mean, afraid, first of all, probably of humiliation. I mean, one of the things that happens to us when our perfect plans get blown up is sometimes what goes with it is our sense of self-worth or maybe my reputation with others. They may go out the window when my plan falls apart. We work so hard on our image in life. Our reputation management is a big part of what we spend time and energy on. We want to be respected, even admired. And my plan is also a part of my identity. Because how I see myself is really tied to how I think others see me. And when my perfect life, or my perfect marriage, or my perfect kids, or my perfect job turns out to be not so perfect, I cannot be afraid of what I think other people are going to think of me. Secondly, don't be afraid to trust God and live with the uncertainty of where we're going next. When living into God's plan for our lives, we most often only get to see a little bit of it at the time. God rarely shows us where it's going to end up or how it's going to end up. A little at the time. Remember Jesus' instruction at the Sermon on the Mount as He brought it to a close? Don't worry about tomorrow. For today has enough of its own to deal with. When living into a new plan with God, we have to remember this. God is our security, not my plan. Remember the 90th Psalm? It says, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Israel's plans went all over the place. Exodus from Egypt, slavery, exile into Babylon. But what they recognized is that with all those blown up plans for all of those generations, God was their security. God was their dwelling place. If we're a planner, we have a tendency to want to plan for every eventuality in life. Yeah? We think we can manage it all, control it all. Don't you love those insurance commercials where the guy plays the role of mayhem? Mayhem is what happens in life sometimes. We can't control it. Control is a lot bigger illusion than we think. God, however, is not. And closely related to that is, don't be afraid when we go to travel lightly. If I'm going to follow God into an uncertain future, I cannot cling too tightly to things, which is what happens when I'm locked into this idea of my plan for my life. You remember that story about Jesus and the man they call the rich young ruler? He comes to Jesus, and this guy is living the dream. I mean, life is working out just like he planned. He wants his cake and eat it too, however, so he goes to Jesus for the final part of his plan of his good life. And he asks Jesus this question, how can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus turns around and changes his whole plan for his perfect life. Sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me, remember? But he went away sad, it says, because he could not let go of the life he had planned for himself. Travel lightly means I don't set my hopes in the wrong things. And finally, don't be afraid to believe that God has a bigger purpose for my life than I think. Most of us, even in our perfect plans for our perfect lives, dream too small for God. Joseph was being invited into what seemed a collapse of his plan for his life, but he was invited into a life of far greater purpose than he ever dreamed for himself. In the end, you know the story, Joseph chose the third option. And we don't know that much about Joseph from there out, but we do know in what followed were many twists and turns. The plan unfolded unlike he ever thought, day by day. They were constantly changing from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Bethlehem to Egypt, Egypt back to Nazareth, where he was going to have to deal with all those people again. And then one day, when God's plan for his life was done, somewhere between 12 and 30, we assume, Joseph dies, disappears from the scene. But I am guessing that by then he had come to embrace this new plan God had for his life. And I really believe he would have no regret, because in learning to walk by faith into God's uncertain future, he had learned to walk without fear. In life, in death, in life after death. And who could have ever imagined that this small town peasant carpenter would still be remembered by billions of people 2,000 years later. That's a plan he could have never seen coming when life punched him in the mouth. So what are we going to do when it's our turn?